On episode 452 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Sharky Zartman and discuss her book, When at Aging, How to Stay Fit, Free, and Love Your Retirement. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/452. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Real Paper. A year and a half ago, my wife and I moved to Bocas del Toro, Panama. It has opened our eyes to many things that you don't get exposed to in the United States. One is how much waste we humans create, and another is how impoverished people often live in unsanitary conditions. Real Paper is a company that's working on both of these issues. Real Paper sells toilet paper made from 100% bamboo, which grows faster, requires less water, creates more oxygen, aka less greenhouse gases, and doesn't require replanting after harvesting. Yes, sustainable toilet paper is available for you now, conveniently shipped for free to your home. Not only is the toilet paper sustainable, all of the packaging is as well. There's no plastic. You hear that? That's the plastic from the last pack we purchased at the grocery store. Living on an island, we're in a constant battle with plastic. It's everywhere, and it takes decades to decompose. Real Paper is also working to tackle the sanitation problem by providing composting toilets to impoverished communities. That's another thing I was introduced to here in Bocas. You can take something that would otherwise be unsanitary and spread disease, but when you treat it properly, you can take it and make it something useful, fertilizer. Real Paper has partnered with a company to do just that. I often joke that my health and fitness vision is to be able to wipe my own butt at 105. If I have any say about it, it'll be Real Paper on the toilet roll. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/TP and use the discount code 40PLUS, that's 40PLUS, to get 25% off. We must begin treating the earth better, and you can do it by going to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/TP and get 25% off with the discount code 40PLUS. Thank you for supporting the show by checking out this wonderful company. Hey, Raz, how you doing?
Great. How are you today, Alan?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling really good. You know, as life has it, things are really, really good, and things are opening up here in Panama, so it looks like my wife and I are going to get an opportunity to come back to the States for a little while, visit family. We've been storing all of our crap, what crap we have left. You know, you say you sold everything, but we didn't sell everything. We ended up with a whole garage full of stuff that's in our daughter's garage, so I'm feeling kind of bad that it's been there for as long as it's been there, because we moved it all in there over a year ago. And so she's like, you know, it's not, she's really cool about it. Actually cooler than I would be. but it's like, well, I've got to get there and get that. Plus some of the equipment, some of the stuff that's in there I want for the gym. Now the gym's not going to open anytime soon. Panama looks at gyms and thinks we're just like discotheques and, you know, that kind of thing. So they haven't opened the schools. They're not going to open the discotheques, and they're not going to let us open the gym. So I'm going to take advantage of the time that the gym's closed to go ahead and take a trip to the United States, get that equipment, get it in there. So when people do come back, it's going to be a pretty cool place.
Awesome.
All
right. Sounds great.
So let's go ahead and introduce today's guest.
All right.
Our guest today is a former volleyball athlete and champion competitor at UCLA, where her jersey was retired. She was a member of the USA Women's National Volleyball Team, the USA All-American, and also competed in the Women's Professional Volleyball Association for 5 years and is a member of the California Beach Volleyball Hall of Fame. As a coach, she led El Camino College to 9 conference championships and 2 state titles. With her husband, Pat, she helped the South Bay Spoilers club team win 3 national youth titles. She holds degrees in kinesiology and instructional technology. She teaches health and fitness at the community college level and hosts Sharky's Pep Talk on Healthy Life Radio, where she motivates people to take charge of their health and wellness. With no further ado, Here's Sharkey Zartman. Sharkey, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you, Alan. Happy to be here.
You know, as someone who kind of grew up being an athlete, I just have to say, I love the title of your book, Win at Aging, How to Stay Fit, Free, and Love Your Retirement. I just like that whole concept of winning this thing is just really, really uplifting.
Well, thank you. We all want to win, right? So it's an empowered approach to life and aging.
And I think it's just one of those things where, you know, not many people approach this from the perspective of as a manageable thing, like you're managing a game or you're managing a sport, and there's strategies and there's rules and there's, you know, things you can do, you know, and you have to play the game right or you age faster than you should.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I'm trying to get out there, because I see a lot of people that hit a certain age. I think 50 is probably the age where most people kind of go, oh my gosh, what's going on? This is crummy. What can I do? And so, yeah, this is meant to help.
Good, good. And I think it will, because some of the things you share in here, I think are, they're just classic. They're things that we all should be doing, whether we're 15 or 85, you know, because we want to live a long, healthy life here. And it's not about longevity. It's about having a quality of life, which is part of what the winning is about. We've got to do the right things.
Exactly. It takes work.
Everything worthwhile does. So in the book, you share some, what you call some rules of aging, because, you know, we're approaching this like a game. And if we want to win, we need to know the rules. Can you go through some of the rules of aging so anyone getting ready to age knows how to play the game?
Sure. Well, I came up with these, so you probably won't find them anyplace else. But as I was going through studying the process and comparing it to sports, I thought, well, as an athlete, you need to know the rules of the game. So here's the ones I came up with. And the first thing is, every living thing ages. And so it's not something that we can avoid, but we can control it. So that's the good news. But we're all going to go through some kind of process with aging. It's not, you know, the only alternative is actually leaving the planet. So it's something we're all going to do. And if we're lucky, right? And also, I want to make sure that people know that you can live a healthy, fulfilling life at any age. But it does take work. We can't just do nothing. Like when we were younger, don't you remember getting away with stuff like partying all night or and feeling great the next day? But that's not going to happen as we get older. And so we have to realize that it does take work if we want to have a positive, vibrant life as we get older. And here's one that I want people to know. We are responsible for how we handle the aging process. Our doctors can only do so much. And I think a lot of times we just go, oh, I don't feel good. My doctor will take care of me. Well, that's not the way it is in winning at aging. We have to be responsible for our lifestyle and how we feel as we get older. Because a doctor is just going to bring us back from disease, right? That's what they do. And so, but another thing that I think is really cool is the rate of aging is actually related to our lifestyle, our attitude, and genetics. And the cool thing is that we can control two out of those three things. Obviously, we can't control genetics, but we can control our lifestyle and our attitudes. And so that's what we need to focus on. And then the physiological and psychological conditions are really more important than our chronological age. So in other words, don't you know people that are 80 that are vibrant and healthy, and other people have all sorts of physical and mental problems? And so it's not really the age. So it's, again, a lot of these things are controllable. We don't get older at the same rate and have the same conditions. It's an individualized process. And when it comes to aging, it doesn't matter who you are. It matters what you do. And also, we have to respect aging. Okay, I call aging in the book a bitch. So respect, study, and understand the beast, or she will take away your quality of life. And again, how we age is up to us. We need to get in the driver's seat. We need to get behind the wheel. We need to stop being a passenger and a backseat driver. And so that's the rules of aging, and understanding those things is how we're going to win.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, in the book, when you talk about getting healthy, I guess, or dealing with our aging, used an acronym, and I'm like one of these, I go crazy for acronyms. I love them. But your acronym is RAP. Can you tell us about what the pieces are of RAP and why each is important?
Right. I call it the power of rap. And it's really getting your mind on board, because most people focus on their bodies. But if your mind isn't on board, you're not going to get the results that you want. And so the mind and body have to be working together. And the three characteristics as an athlete that I think all top athletes share are resiliency, that's R, accountability, and purpose. And so did you want me to go through those three and explain them to you?
Yes, please.
Okay. So resiliency, aging's a challenge. And so we have to, if we're going to take this path, which most of us are going to do, we have to toughen up. And as an athlete, when if you played a sport, you didn't probably moan and groan or quit when you lost a game or something happened. You know, you stepped up, you got went back to practice, and you did it again, and you tried again. And so that's what we have to have, resiliency. If we get knocked down, we need to brush it off, get back up, and keep going. So winning at aging is tough. It's not for wimps, that's for sure. And so we have to quit complaining and just say, okay, this is the way it is, and I can do this, and I'm going to control what I can't control. And so the Rocky movies are a great example of resiliency. How many times did that guy get knocked down and get back up? So, and the second one is accountability. And I think we have a serious problem with accountability in our society today. It's like nobody wants to take responsibility for their choices, right?
Yeah.
So, but as we get older, you know, we have to start doing that. We have to take a look at what got us where we are today. And we have to accept the responsibility for that. So we really have to say, hey, you know, I made these choices because of that. Maybe that's why I'm dealing with this, and I can change those choices. Too often people blame other people or blame the conditions. And as an athlete, you probably know that that never got you better at your sport. So that's the accountability factor. And I use a fun story in the book about this guy at this conference I went to with all these trainers, and they were trying to say the coolest things that are out there in terms of supplements and gimmicks. And this guy came up and he goes, I don't have any of that. He goes, but I have something that works. Just tell your client to stand in front of the mirror with no clothes on and say, I am responsible for this, and I am the only person that can fix it. That was a powerful message.
There you go. Yeah.
And the last one is purpose. And I know that that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But basically, it's knowing what you want and start being excited about getting it. I think too often early in our lives, we're trying to make ends meet. We're taking care of our family. We're concerned about our careers. But a lot of times after 50, now's the time for us to kind of go, hey, what do I really want? We've never really asked ourselves that question before. And once we find out, and it's different for everybody, and that can be more than one purpose, it gets you excited about life. It gets you excited about getting up in the morning and getting going. And a lot of times when people retire, they lose some self-worth because they're not doing this, what they've done for so many years. And but they still have their gifts. They still have their energy. And so they just need to find a way to channel that. And so those are the three things that I think are really, really important, the three characteristics that you need to win at aging.
Yeah, I completely agree because, you know, things are going to happen. You had a knee replacement, I think you said, and that required rehab. You know, that required some really hard work to work through that. You easily could have just quit and said, okay, well, now I'm just going to, you know, sit here and start doing something like reading because I can't get back in the gym, or I can't go do my exercises, I can't do the things I was doing. But you did the rehab, so now you can.
Right. And I got to tell you, anybody that's considering a knee replacement, it's not an easy surgery to recover from. I was 6 hours on this machine every day that took my leg through different ranges of motion. And I had to do that to get back to 120 degrees on flexion and full extension. And it was hard and it was painful, but I went, there's no way I'm going to go have gone through that surgery and not come out better.
Yeah.
So you got to do it. Get it.
Yeah. I tore a rotator cuff and, you know, went through and I had the surgery on a Thursday and I was in rehab on Monday. You know, I was like, I'm not playing around with this. I'm going to get this shoulder back as quickly as I possibly can.
Good for you.
And then the other two, you know, I think, you know, we can look at the Blue Zones and some of the other books that are out there, and they kind of make it clear, if we don't have a purpose, we don't have a fire. And if we don't have a fire, then that's not really the life we want to live anyway.
Right.
And then after that, it's like, okay, so here you are and you have this self-awareness. What are you going to do about it? And, you know, we don't have necessarily, unless you hire someone, you don't have a coach out on the field telling you, okay, run this play, do that play, do this thing. You got to figure some of that out for yourself. But the reality is that information's there. It's not rocket science. Even though the body's a really complex organism, we know the things we're supposed to be doing: eating whole food, moving, meditating, sleeping. You know, we all know those things. So I think it's really important for folks to really wrap their head around all three of these in your wrap. Because it is, each and every one of them is important. You can't get there without all three of them.
Yes.
Now, you brought another concept into this thing. And again, it goes back to your sports and athletic days. The concept of playing offense and defense. Because I think most of us are thinking in terms of, well, we're going to play this game and play defense. I'm going to try to avoid getting older. I'm going to try to avoid hurting myself. I'm going to, you know, try to avoid, you know, some of the things that maybe I did in my 20s and 30s. You know, we're thinking of it from a defensive perspective. But you say we have to do both if we're going to win this game.
We really do. Offense, obviously, is scoring. So if you're in a team sport, you want to score. And defense is preventing the other team from scoring. And actually, when you're in sports, I think a lot of times people focus more on offense, right? And so, like a coach that wants to run and gun and just in basketball and get down and shoot within 8 seconds. And, you know, basically, if you're successful, you're going to win, right? Because you get more opportunities at shooting. But a lot of times, sports, they actually don't work enough on defense. And defense, if two teams are similar, defense is preventing the other team from scoring, right? And so you need them both. You need them both. And so you need to be proactive in terms of offense. You need to go after a healthy lifestyle. It's on you. It's your responsibility. You need to do this. The doctor is not going to make you do it. And so, but defense, I think, is what I'm looking at defense in terms of when it's aging is prevention. And, you know, taking a look at something like COVID, which hopefully will go away soon. You know, we all hear the prevention: wash your hands, social distancing, masks, don't go to large gatherings, eventually have a vaccine. So COVID doesn't win. And so I think that we need to have both. And there's a lot of overlap between the two, but we can't just focus on one. We can't just focus on defense. We can't just focus on offense.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you there. There is one thing I'd like to say is, you know, with COVID, and again, I agree with you. I hope this is something we get rid of and don't have to deal with again for a long, long time. But I hate the term social distancing because to me, it's a horrible, horrible choice of words.
What we want is
we want physical distancing.
We need social.
You know, that's part of purpose. That's part of why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, so I don't want to socially distance myself from the people that I care about. I want to be, you know, not necessarily physically around them because that's, you know, that's part of the issue. I have to be smart about it. But I think the core of this is that defense isn't all that sexy. You know, it's just washing your hands. It doesn't seem like, you know, a big sexy thing to do. Whereas you get on the bike and go for a ride and you're enjoying the outdoors and you're getting the sun, right, feeling really good. The wind's on your face and, you know, you break a record because you went faster this time than you've gone in a long, long time. So you have a new PR and that's exciting. That's fun. That scoring is fun. Sometimes defense is just, you know, brush your teeth, wash your hands.
I know.
You know.
It's prevention is not fun.
Yeah.
Offense is fun.
Yeah. Yes. But you still have to do both.
Right.
This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Vault Health. Guys, we need to discuss the elephant in the room. Most of us really struggle to manage certain health issues, especially when it affects things we don't want to talk about, like our libido and vitality. Yes, I'm talking about low T. Did you know that 40% of men over 40 suffer from low T? Low T can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, ED, fatigue and poor sleep, low energy, and depression. These can completely dismantle any efforts you're making to be healthy and fit. If you're dealing with one or more of these, it's worth booking a free online consultation with a Vault physician at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Vault. Vault is all about discretion. After your free consultation and you agree you want treatment, they'll send a phlebotomist to your home to do a blood draw. You'll get a personalized doctor-reviewed treatment plan. This can be with pills, cream, or injections. The medications are mailed to your home. There's nothing macho about neglecting your health. If you live in the United States and you're struggling, it's worth learning more at Vault Health. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/vault today. That's 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/vault. Now, in the book, you went through the components of fitness. And I always like, if I see someone who's written about this, I like to come back to this because I think it's, you know, we'll typically, when we start working on fitness, there'll be something that we're going to be really, really good at. Like you might be really good at cardio and you can ride your bike forever and, you know, you can go. But you lack upper body strength or, you know, you don't have much mobility or balance. Can you go through the components of fitness and why each one, what we should be doing for each one of those, particularly as we start getting older?
Right. Well, first of all, we need to know that they are all important. And so you can't just be healthy and when at aging, just doing one thing. And so the one that gets the most attention usually is the cardiorespiratory endurance because it's systematic, which means it affects all the systems of the body. And the definition of that just scientific is the ability of the heart and lungs to transport oxygen and nutrients to the cells and eliminate waste products so the cells can do their jobs. And so that's basically what it is. And as most of us know, that's prolonged, sustained large muscle movements like riding your bike, like walking, like jogging. And so usually the timeline on this is to do so at least for 30 minutes a day. And yet it used to be that was the main guideline, but now we know that we can cut it into chunks. It doesn't have to be nonstop for 30 minutes. And so we can cut it into chunks and still get the benefits from it. And there are so many things that we can do with cardiorespiratory endurance. And I think especially now, people need to get creative because a lot of the things that they've done in the past, they can't do anymore because of everything shutting down. And so, and getting outside is a great way to get your cardiorespiratory endurance. Riding an exercise bike is indoors is very different than riding it outdoors, right?
Yes.
Yes, and so that's the one that gets the most attention. But one that I think is especially important, especially as we age, is the muscle fitness, which is muscle strength and muscle endurance. Because as we age, we lose muscle mass if we don't work on keeping it. And as you know, a lot of people, as they get older in their 80s, a lot of times they lose their mobility. And nobody wants to lose that. And so we have to keep our muscles strong and active. And there's two components, again, muscle strength and muscle endurance. We can work on them together or we can work them separately. Most people work them together. And that's just lifting weight or doing resistance training. And the reps would be somewhere between 8 and 12 reps. And you can do a whole muscle resistance training workout in 20 minutes. And so it doesn't take that much time. And you can do it at home with weight machines. You can get straps. I have a TRX machine at home that really works you. So there's a lot of different ways to do that resistance training. It's not just on the machines that you have at the gym. And so those two are very important. But flexibility is too, that range of motion present at a joint. I mean, we want to be able to move our bodies so we can get up off the floor, right? Mm-hmm. And that involves stretching, making sure that we do work the joints through their full range of motion each and every day. And one of the best ways that I like to do it is through yoga. There's so many different yoga practices out there. Some of them are physical, some bring in other components like meditation, but combining flexibility with your other workouts for cardiorespiratory endurance and muscle strength is very doable. So there's a lot of hybrid workouts out there that do all three. And the last one I like to talk about is body composition. Because, and that's the proportion of body fat to the fat-free mass. And people need to understand what body composition is, because otherwise, a lot of times people start a resistance training program and then they stand on the scale and they go, oh my God, I've gained weight, especially for women.
Yes.
And a lot of times that's muscle mass. And that's good. And so getting a body composition test is really, really important to know what that mass is. Obviously, muscle, we want muscle. And if we have too much body fat, we'd like to get rid of that. But what happens as we get older, especially when we get to be over 40, with losing that muscle mass, okay, and a lot of times we don't notice it happening, we start to put on body fat, okay, and we're doing the same things. It's kind of like we haven't changed our lifestyle, but we start gaining weight. And I think especially this happens to women. And so we need to be aware of body composition. So those are the components: muscle strength, muscle endurance, cardiorespiratory endurance, flexibility, and body composition. We need them all.
Yes.
To win at aging. Yes.
Yes. Great. That's why I wanted you to go over them, because I do think it's really, really important. And the cool thing about all of them is that, you know, you mentioned yoga for flexibility and mobility. You mentioned different ways that we can get cardiovascular fitness. You mentioned different ways that we can do resistance training. And even with body composition, you know, we can try different things. So it should never be stale. It should never get old. It should be something where you're excited to do it, you know, and it particularly, you know, I think when people want to continue sports into their, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, that's an excellent opportunity, because it clearly demonstrates that you're keeping yourself fit and capable.
Yes, sports are great because they combine all of these components. I mean, you have to work on muscle strength. You have to have the endurance in order to go the distance. You have to have the flexibility. So yeah, you're right. So sports are a great alternative. And people who play sports, a lot of times don't realize they're working out because they're having so much fun, right?
Yes. And until you're sore the next day and you're like, hey, I actually did something.
I earned that. I earned that soreness.
Yeah. Now
we won.
We won. We scored. The offense scored. Yeah. The offense scored. Now we got to play some defense and get ourselves recovered and ready to go again. But, you know, in the book, you talked about meditation and, you know, meditation used to be one of those things we would, you know, woo-woo, and occasionally you would do it with yoga, you know, with a little less of a spiritual backing to it. But I think now, if you didn't know meditation, I mean, they've been in a rock if they don't know, but meditation has become a little bit more mainstream. But you've mentioned three breakdowns, and I just kind of want to go through them because it's three types of meditation. So just like we talked about with the fitness, there's different modalities of how you can do and accomplish that task. And it's no different with meditation. Can you talk about the three sections or approaches to meditation and what each does?
Sure. The first one I think is the most common. It's called exclusive meditation. The reason that works a lot of times is because your brain has something to focus on. Your brain likes to have something to do. Otherwise, you're going to have the monkey mind, right? You get it all different times. And I think probably the one that I like the most, and I've taught my yoga students, is a primordial sound exclusive meditation where they focus on saying to themselves, so, S-O, on the inhale, and hum, H-U-M, on the exhale. And it's real easy. But for some people, it's hard because the mind likes to wander. And I tell my students, you know, just go back. You know, when your mind starts to wander, just go back. So on the inhale, hum on the exhale. Because what that's doing is it's giving your whole rest of your body a chance to relax. Because if the mind is always running amok, it's, you know, it's your cells are listening to your mind. You know? So if finally your mind has something to do that's just repetitive with just one thought, one thing, then your whole rest of your body gets to relax. And it's an easy exercise, meditative exercise to do. And a lot of my students just really enjoy it. And so they feel so much better afterwards. And you don't have to do it for very long. I learned this at the Chopra Center, Deepak Chopra. And when I first went into that meditation room, I couldn't sit still for 5 minutes. After learning this technique, I could be there for 30 minutes and it felt like 2 minutes. And so it's very powerful and it's very easy. The inclusive one is a little harder. And so this one, you're kind of letting in the thoughts. But you sit quietly and you just let your brain do the thoughts. But the key here is to not attach any judgment or any emotion to the thoughts. So it's like you're watching them from a distance. It's like you're sitting there watching logs go down a stream one at a time. And I've done this also in my class. Some of my students really like it because what ends up happening, you're watching yourself think and the thoughts start to slow down. And eventually, sometimes the thoughts stop and you're just there totally relaxed in a meditative state. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And so that's a little harder than the exclusive. The mindfulness we can do every day doing anything. We don't have to sit down or lie down to do mindfulness. It's just being totally aware in the present moment. And sometimes I'll use a mindfulness technique in terms of just doing a body awareness exercise with my students. I'll have them start at the top of their body and just send their awareness up to their forehead or to their mouth or to their, they become very aware in the present moment as to what's going on there. But we can do this at, like, when we're washing the dishes, instead of thinking about everything else going on in the past or future, we're just washing the dishes and just be right in that present moment. So the mindfulness, I think, is really cool because we can do that anywhere, anytime. And it's very, very relaxing and soothing. Most of us spend our time either in the past, thinking about what we did and obsessing over what we did wrong, or we're worried about the future. So mindfulness is a technique on how to stay in the present moment.
Yeah. And guys, washing the dishes counts as washing your hands. So use that as some mindfulness time.
That's good. That's good.
And I've done all three of these, and you're right. The inclusive one is kind of the hardest one, because invariably right. I would think of something that I needed to do, and I was really afraid to let that thought go. And it took me a while to say, okay, it's going to come back around. I'll remember it. I know I will. But, you know, get something that's big, and you're like, oh, I got to get that done. And, you know, now I'm sitting here not doing it. And you know, so it's a little harder to balance. All of these are easier, particularly, I mean, other than the mindfulness, I think all of the other ones are much easier if you have some guidance. So, you know, you can get apps or go on YouTube and get some videos, you know, to listen to, but when they're guided, it makes it just a little bit easier to get into it. And, you know, you start out 5 minutes and you get comfortable with that. You stretch it out to a little bit longer, and before you know it, you're capable of doing a lot more than you would have thought.
Right. Right. Have you ever done a guided meditation where they actually, the audio takes you to a place and describes the place, and you're actually using your mind to be there? Have you ever done that one?
Yeah. I've done one of those. I was, I subscribed to the Headspace app, and it had all kinds of stuff in there. And it was, part of that was the stress relief, app, you know, and so I spent a lot of time with that, but they had the others. I've gone on YouTube as well. And listen to a few where they're like, okay, you're going to leave your body and try to imagine yourself floating above you. You see yourself there. And, go off to this place where you don't feel any pain. You don't feel any regret. You don't feel any worry.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Sharky, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Okay, I'm going to take a holistic approach to this, if you don't mind. So, I'm a health professor, and I teach holistic health. So I think we need to, and I'm going to talk about three that basically most of that, with the fourth one, if we have time, some people get harder. The first one, don't identify with that, because that is talking about your body in terms of what you can do to make your body healthier. And that's the wellness. And so one area that I think a lot of us, the nutrition, and all of us want to know what's the best way to eat. And there is an idea called bioindividuality, which actually means we're all different. There's not one diet that is for all of us. And so we need to spend some time figuring out the kinds of foods that feel good in our bodies and help us live our lives. And because there are some foods out there that are deemed healthy, but they're not healthy for some people. Some people have food allergies, right? And so it takes time and motivation to really explore foods in terms of what we enjoy, what feels good inside of our bodies. And one thing I would say to everyone is to try to stay away from processed foods. You mentioned that, you know, eating whole foods, because of all the toxins. The toxins put us at risk for autoimmune disease and everything else. And so if we can just stay away from those kinds of foods and add more whole foods, more fruits and vegetables, fresh, more whole grains, more protein that is clean, we would notice a difference. And so that's the physical part. The next one is, I think, even more important, and that's the mental, emotional components of wellness. And like I said, the mind and body are connected. So you can't just work on the body and not have the mind on board. And I think one thing that all of us can do as we age is start having a more positive mindset. You know, the paradigm for aging is it's an eventual period of decline, and that's pretty depressing. I like to say it's a challenge, it's an opportunity, and it's a privilege. And so just doing that kind of changes the feeling of what aging is about. And so we need to look for the good instead of always what's wrong. It's hard to do in this day and age, but we can do it if we focus on what's good today. We can have a journal, you know, we can basically do this. We can look for the good and focus more on what can I do, not what can't I do. What can I do that I want to do? And then I just had a person on my show, his name's Ted Larkins. He wrote the Get To Principle. He goes, instead of saying you have to do this, say I get to do this. And so this is all mind shifting towards positivity, which I think we need to do. We need to stop complaining about everything. And the last one is social wellness. We need to put together our own teams. We probably have a lot of people out there that draw our energy away, that are negative. All they do is complain. We need to get people in our lives that are positive and have the same goals as us. When I was doing a lecture once, this woman raised her hand, and I identified those people as social vampires. And she goes, what if you're married to one? And I said, well, you need to crowd him out with other people in your lives that are positive. And so, and we get to choose our own teams. That's not like we're back in the days where we had tryouts and stuff to be on teams. We get to choose our own teams now. And that includes our doctors and our health providers. And so, yeah, so we need to get our team together. And the last component is spirituality. And I tell my students, I give them one phrase and have them think about it. Imagine that you are a spiritual being having a physical experience. And when I tell them that, some of them just kind of go, oh, I mean, isn't that a cool thing to think about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so those are the approaches, the three strategies that I use with that last one thrown in for fun.
Thank you, Sharky. If someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about the book, When at Aging, How to Stay Fit, Free, and Love Your Retirement, where would you like for me to send them?
My website. It's my name, Sharky Zartman, SharkyZartman.com. And they can also go to Amazon, and the book is up, and there'll be some reviews up there and some information. And also my other books are up on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles. But basically my website has pretty much mostly what I do in my background.
Cool. Well, you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/452, and I'll be sure to have links there in the show notes. So Sharky, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Well, thank you for having me, Alan. It was fun.
Well, Raz, that was a pretty cool episode, don't you think?
Oh, it was. Lots of good information here.
Yeah, she was just a spitball of fire. I really enjoyed the conversation with her, and you know, while we were recording, I think her husband was in the background, Pat, and it was funny because in the book and I don't even know that I got into this in the interview so much as I did afterwards. Sometimes I have better conversations afterwards, sometimes than I do during the actual episode. But her husband, Pat, you know, one of the things she said about him was that he wants to live to at least 200, and so I wanted her to know that I'm in Pat's corner there. I hope Pat makes it. And leads the way for the rest of us to live longer, healthier lives. So it was a really cool conversation, and I promise, guys, we're past that point of talking about aging. I've had 3 or 4 episodes in a row, so we move on. We're going to talk about some other things next week, and I'll let you know what's going on. But so, what were some key things that you took away from this episode, Raz?
Well, she's got the point right on the head here. Is that we all want to win at aging. Don't we? We want to have a really good quality of life as we get older. And sometimes that's hard to get to unless you put in the effort.
Yeah, I think so many times people look at the aging curve and they just think, okay, that's my path. That's mm-hmm. what I'm going to follow. You know, my grandfather lived till he was in his 60s. My father lived until he was in his 60s. So therefore, that's my path. Mm-hmm. They both had diabetes. Therefore, that's my path. My whole mm-hmm. family has obesity problems and the issues that come along with that. That's my path. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is, if you approach your life with the mindset that it's not your path, you decide your path, then you can change that trajectory. It doesn't have to follow the standard path where you're living the standard life expectancy of, you know, your family or your history. You can rewrite that second part. You can go on a different path and live longer, live better. And I like that she looks at it as competition, as winning something, because mm-hmm. if you go in with a losing mindset, then that's where you are. You know, it's the Ford quote. If you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're also right. You lead a lot of what goes on with your life with your mindset.
Absolutely. I like how she mentions you can't change your genetics, but you can change your attitude and you can change your lifestyle. It's so true.
Yeah. And so many things that we're facing today, you know, obesity, some cancers, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, a lot of these things we're learning are lifestyle diseases. We're doing it to ourselves. We've got to fix that.
That's so true. She mentions about being proactive with the offense, about taking the lead and leading a healthy lifestyle, making the changes to lose weight, get healthier, get stronger, and do what you can. I mean, you just don't have to sit there and age. You can do what you can to enjoy it and improve the quality of your living as you age.
Yeah, I liked that she had that offensive approach along with the defense. You don't win a game without having both. But mm-hmm. you know, most people don't think about the offensive part of this. And one thing that I'm like when I'm working with clients, and you know, they'll invariably want to use the scale as a measurement of success. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be working with them, and then they'll step on the scale, and they've gained a pound, and it's like tragedy. You know, they just basically want to quit. And I'm like, you know, if you look at it from the perspective of a football player, and I don't know how much you know about football, but in general, you have four downs to get 10 yards. So you have four plays to get the 10 yards that you want to get. And if a team goes out there on their first down and maybe they lose 3 yards, you know, they ran to the left, and the guys on the left on their side wanted it more than our guys did. And we lost, you know, 3 yards on that play. We don't punt the ball. We don't stop. We don't quit the game and say, well, I'm just going to stop doing this. What we do is we know we have three more downs. We learn from that play. We say, hey, let's not run that play again. You know, maybe later in the game we'll open things up, but let's not run that play right now, because it's not going to work. It's not working for us the way we want it to. We got to get positive yards. So now we're looking at throwing the ball, or we're looking to run to the right, or we're going to do some kind of misdirection to take care of those aggressive players over there. But we do something different because we know we have more downs in us. We know we have more opportunity. So I agree with it. We can win this, but we have to think of it as a total game. You know, aging is not a thing that happens to you today. It's something that's happening every day. So you're in the game every day, whether you want to or not. You just have to choose if you're going to continue to lose those 3 yards every single play, or if you're going to make some positive yardage here and there where the game lets you. And that being offensive-minded gives you that opportunity to take advantage of things.
That's absolutely right. And in the world of running, when you're out there running miles, things happen. It always does. You feel a hot spot and a blister comes on, so you stop and tend to it. You're feeling hungry, you stop and have something to eat. The whole point is that you're listening to what your body's telling you and you do something about it. Again, you just don't have to wait around and see what happens next. You take control, and if you've encounter a problem, you learn what it takes to fix it and get after it.
Absolutely. All right. So anything special going on for you coming up?
Nope, just running miles. It's a cutback week for me. So just taking the miles a little light this week, but next week I'll be ramping back up again and I'll have some double digit days.
Double digits. Love it.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
A lot of me time. A lot of me
time. You betcha.
In those miles. Yep. Good for you.
For sure. Thanks.
Now, you know, me, the cool thing is things are slightly opening up here in Panama. So it looks like I'm going to get a chance to come back to the States for about a month to, you know, see some family, take care of a few things that I left undone in Pensacola. So we're looking at taking a trip there in October. So about a month from now, I'll be in Pensacola. Well, we're flying into Miami, and I'll spend a few days there. Then we're going to drive up to Pensacola, and we'll spend about a week there. Then we're going to drive up to Indiana near Chicago and spend about a week there. And then to Asheboro, North Carolina, which if you look at North Carolina, just point your finger right at the very middle of it. Mm-hmm. That's where Asheboro is. I'll go there for about a week, and then we'll come back down, and we think we might have to get one of those little speed tests, you know, just to know that we're not infected before we get on the plane.
Oh yeah.
Right now they're charging about $250 for those COVID tests. So we have to have that right now. The way the rules are, we have to have that within 48 hours of getting on an airplane. So we'll go down into Miami area, get that test, wait out the results. I think it's supposed to be immediate now, but we'll see. So we have to get one that we get an answer for relatively quickly. So, and I think they're like $250. Maybe the price will come down before then.
I hope
we'll
so.
We'll have the test. But yeah, we're driving all this other than we are going to fly into Miami. So we got a couple of flights and then we'll be into Miami and then we're going to drive. So my wife and I will get a lot of car time, a lot of podcasts, and a lot of audiobooks.
Sure. That sounds awesome.
Well, it is awesome. You start looking, well, okay, that's a 4.5 hour drive. That's a 6.5 hour drive. That's an 8 hour drive. That's a 12 hour drive. So lots of time in the car sitting. But if you're anywhere in between all those things, just reach out to me, Alan at 40 Plus Fitness Podcast. I'd love to hook up. We have a coffee or have a cocktail, depending on what time of day or night it is and how much further I've got to drive. Do reach out. Again, I'm around, so I do want to meet you if you're there. So do that.
That sounds great.
All right. Well, Rachel, you have a great week.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. So next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Lori Shamek and discuss her book, The Ketogenic Key, Unlock the Secrets to Lose Weight, Slow Aging, Stop Inflammation, and Prevent Disease. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.